Today's gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 28 through 35. The walk to Emmaus. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has indeed risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
I cannot thank everyone enough for sending me wonderful notes, cards, and gifts from Pastors Appreciation Month, even though I didn't announce it. I feel so blessed and so honored to be your pastor. This morning, I'd like to share with you one of the thank you notes I received from you. Quote, "Pastor Kim, it's a great time to tell you how much your congregation loves and appreciates you. I continue to be impressed. Here are a few of my thoughts. I think you have a very high IQ and yet relate so well to the average person. Your sermons are relevant, interesting, and well-researched. Obviously, you are highly prepared, and you leave the listener with food for thought and wanting more to be continued. Ha, 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 great technique. I am always impressed with your grasp of the English language and large vocabulary. You have a delightful sense of humor and quick wit. You are a gift from God to our church, our community, and far beyond. Thank you so much for all you do, likely so much behind the scenes that many of us know nothing about. With great appreciation, love, and very wishes to you and your family." Signed by Carolyn Graywood. But one thing needs to be clarified here. I don't think I have a very high IQ, but many of you do have very high IQs, so that you are very well relating to average persons like me. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, everyone, for your continuing love, encouragement, and support. I wish I could share with everyone's notes, because they are beautiful, awesome, and really caring words for me, and thank you. In October, after coming back from my vacation, we celebrated Stewardship Sunday and Commitment Sunday, sharing my two sermons on stewardship. Now, my continuing sermon series, The Heart of Christianity, resumes today and throughout November with a new subject, Jesus, the Heart of God. This morning, we are going to share part one as an introduction on Jesus. I know you know Jesus very well. For some of you, you have known Jesus all your lifetimes. Yes, you have faith in Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the foundation of your faith. Because of Jesus, we are the church, the body of Christ. Because of Jesus, we have gathered for worship. Because of Jesus, we claim that we are Christians. Because of Jesus, I am here as your pastor. Because of Jesus, you are here as a faithful congregation. So in this sense, Jesus is everything in our meaningful lives and in our faith journeys. One of my favorite hymns when I was a child was Jesus Loves Me. And today, it is still one of my favorite hymns. As you all know, the first verse goes like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me has been one of the best phrases you want to hear and say, and still is, right? This morning, I just want to emphasize one thing. Who is Jesus to you? What does it mean that Jesus loves you and you love Jesus? This morning's gospel reading is from Luke. It's the story of the walk to Emmaus, the last part, the ending part. It's a fascinating story that caught my attention, especially on the transformation happened between Jesus and the two disciples. Actually, it's a transformation story of the two disciples because of Jesus. I'm sure you are well familiar with this interesting and unique passage that can be found only in the Gospel of Luke. The two disciples, Cleopas and the unnamed one, were heading to where? Emmaus. Then Jesus joined their walk. However, they could not recognize Jesus, who was resurrected already. During the walk, Jesus shared with them a great deal of scripture lessons. Then the rest of the story is continuing in this morning's gospel reading. These two disciples have never realized that this stranger who came along the whole time on the road to Emmaus is indeed Jesus himself, until they have shared the bread together. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Now here is an amazing part. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Yes, finally they are able to open their spiritual eyes and to recognize Jesus, the risen Christ. Yet, the second part of the same verse has always been puzzling to me. And he vanished from their sight. Jesus vanishes from their sight. I wish, now that these disciples recognize Jesus, he would say with them to say some kind of affirmation and assurance, something like, now you can see me, guys. Now you know who I am. Yes, it's me, Jesus. I've been walking your journey all along, but now it's time for me to leave. I trust that you will convey the good news to everyone that I am alive. Farewell, my friends. or they can follow Jesus as new disciples, new assistants. They must be so thrilled and so excited. But Jesus just vanishes from them. He just disappears without saying goodbye. Why? This why has been my search as well. Simply put, we Christians are called to move forward beyond the historical Jesus in the past. Rather, we are called to encounter with the living Christ in our everyday life. The living Christ is in your life, is always loving, always comforting, always assuring, always empowering, and always guiding. This living Jesus is no longer confined in the past history, or in the Bible alone, or in your knowledge, or in your own experience. Jesus is the heart of God. That's why I'm so elated that you and I are going to share my sermon series on Jesus. The lives of these two disciples of Emmaus are now completely transformed. Verse 32, they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning with us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" This verse reminds me of John Wesley's conversion experience. Wesley described that his heart became strangely warmed because of this one person's new birth experience. The whole world was transformed. And these two disciples of Emmaus do not just sit down and ponder upon their memory and experience only. They got up, they get up and do actions. Verse 33, that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. Verses 34, 35 continues, they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Being assured that Jesus is risen again is the good news, not only for these disciples, but also for the whole world. And we, as the church, are called to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the community and to the whole world. Our hearts are breaking because of the Israel-Hamas war these days. What would Jesus do today in terms of the division between pro-Israel and pro-Palestine that is affecting not only in the Middle East, but also here in the United States? Would Jesus pick a side? Would Jesus side with Israel because he is a Jew? Or would Jesus side with the Palestine because he and his family once were refugees too? I believe Jesus would not pick a side. But we can remember John 3:16, God so loved the world. I can only imagine what he would say, probably something like this: "Hey world, I am crying with you who are grieving over the lives lost because of the wars. Peace be with you. I came as your peace. I came because I love you, everyone. Please love one another as I have loved you. Love is the only remedy for world peace." Yes, we are called to pursue peace, justice, and love as God's children. We condemn every kind of terrorist attacks, genocides, and racism, and all kind of evil deeds. Violence, hatred, and injustice are never God's wills or desires. My sisters and brothers in Christ, for Jesus and for God, all people from all nations are God's precious and beloved children. Yes, you are God's beloved child, and God never stops loving you. God's heart is full of love, and Jesus is the heart of God. This is the good news for you, for me, and for everyone. The Jesus Loves Me song has the third verse. I think it's the best verse ever. Please join me in singing this verse. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It turns out this morning that I never mentioned about Marcus Borg's book on Jesus, but next Sunday we will be exploring more on Jesus. Yes, the story of Jesus is to be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.